Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's message is the first reading, especially verse 12, where we read, Peter said, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is our text. Dear friends in Christ, Shakespeare's Juliet said it first. In the play Romeo and Juliet, Juliet declared, "What's in a name? A rose by any other name would smell as sweet." She said that because she was attracted to a young man named Romeo Montague, the son of a hated family enemy. Her point was, so what if Romeo's last name is Montague? It doesn't matter what his name is. I like him even if he has the wrong last name. What's in a name? Not much, according to Juliet. According to Juliet, we're not defined by our names. They're nice to have. After all, they identify us from the mass of people around us. We all need names. But there's not much significance in a name. A name is just a handle. No disrespect to Juliet, but she was dead wrong. A name is precious, important. It conveys so much more than mere identification. We want names that reflect something of the dignity we have as human beings, the dignity we have as unique creations of God. Consider how parents agonize over the choice of a baby's name. They put a lot of thought into that name. No parent I know would ever name his or her baby Amanda Huggenkiss or Dandruff. Those names are silly. They'd rob kids of their dignity. Names are important. God certainly thinks so. That's why he's devoted a whole commandment to using his name rightly. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, the second commandment. That's because God's name is important, precious. God's name is any name by which he's made himself known, and God's name reflects something of his care, his dignity, his power. Calling God Father reflects his care and concern for us. He loves us like a parent. Calling God Almighty reflects his power. Calling God Lord reflects his headship over us, his right to direct our lives. Calling the second person of the Trinity Jesus reflects his sacrifice. The very name Jesus means Savior. All these names are important to God and to us. You've got to respect the name. The phrase "in Jesus' name" is used quite a lot in Scripture. In today's text, we're told that salvation is in Jesus' name. After Peter healed a lame man by invoking Jesus' name, he told the Jewish authorities, "By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man stands before you well. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." In last week's gospel lesson, after the risen Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples, he told them to proclaim forgiveness in his name. They were to go out and tell the world that there is forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus' name. And today, in our epistle lesson, John urges Christians to believe in the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So, what does the phrase "in Jesus' name" mean? Simply this. When you accomplish or do something in Jesus' name, it means that this activity has been accomplished through Jesus' authority. It's been accomplished because of Jesus' power and character and love and work. So, let's take a look at the things that have been and are accomplished in Jesus' name. First, Peter declares in our text that there is salvation in Jesus' name. Verse 12 of our text reads, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That means our salvation has been accomplished by Jesus' authority because of his power and love and work. Because Jesus gave his life for our sins on the cross and rose again, our sins are all forgiven. Our guilt has been canceled. Jesus opened the door to heaven for us. We're saved by Jesus' name because of his authority and work. Some people wonder why Jesus had to suffer to obtain the forgiveness of our sins. I've heard people say, when you forgive someone, you just forget about the offense. You treat the offense like no big deal. It doesn't involve suffering. I understand what they mean, but I think it's a bit naive to think that forgiveness doesn't involve suffering. I mean, have you ever forgiven someone who hurt you deeply? Raise your hand. Have you ever forgiven someone who inflicted a tear your heart in two kind of offense? It was difficult, painful to forgive that person. In his book, Reason for God, Tim Keller states, "Forgiveness means bearing the cost instead of making the wrongdoer do it, so you can reach out in love to seek your enemy's renewal and change. Forgiveness means absorbing the debt of sin yourself. It's a form of suffering. You not only suffer the original loss of happiness, reputation, and opportunity, but you also forego the consolation of receiving justice." See why the forgiveness Jesus won for us on the cross is so precious and costly? Not only did God bear the injustice of sins committed against him, against Jesus, but Jesus bore and paid our sin debt. He suffered the punishment that justice demanded for our sins. Forgiveness and suffering go hand in hand, and the good news of Jesus Christ is this, that Jesus willingly and gladly suffered to bring us pardon and peace. We have forgiveness in Jesus' name. I can't help but think about Pastor Vern and how forgiveness in Jesus' name made such a difference in his life. He reflected kindness and love. People who didn't know him would say, "That guy is very kind. That guy is very loving." That came from the UPS guy. That came from waitresses who waited on him. Because of the love of God, because he had forgiveness in Jesus' name, he reflected Christ's love. More than that, because he had forgiveness in Jesus' name, he had peace, a peace which surpasses all understanding, a peace he had even in the face of death. Jesus did that for Pastor Vern, and he does it for you and me. We have forgiveness in Jesus' name. God's word also teaches us to pray in Jesus' name. Jesus tells us in John 14, verse 14, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Now, that doesn't mean we can boss God around or make him our errand boy. It means that when we pray in Jesus' name, God hears us. He's attentive to our prayers. You see, praying in Jesus' name means that we have the privilege of prayer because of Jesus' authority, because He made us God's sons and daughters. Because of Jesus, we can approach God at any time with any problem or concern and pour out our souls to Him. To quote Luther, because of Jesus, we can approach God in prayer as children approach their dear Father with their prayers, with their requests and concerns. In fact, God is more open to our prayers than fathers are open to the requests of their kids. When my kids were small, they weren't afraid to ask me for anything they wanted. They weren't afraid to make requests. And when I was in my 30s, they always asked me to wrestle with them, to roughhouse with them. They called it torture. Every day after supper, my children would come to me and say, "Daddy, Daddy, torture us, torture us." Maybe not the best term around, right? My son once told his third grade teacher, "My daddy tortured me last night." And I thought, "I'm going to jail. I'm going to jail." They weren't afraid to ask me to wrestle with them and horseplay with them. And it reached a point where I got really tired. I was in my 30s, and wrestling with these kids, these three kids, for 20 minutes, half an hour, it was exhausting. I reached the point where I prayed they wouldn't ask me. I hoped they wouldn't ask me to wrestle with them. You know what? God is never too tired to want to hear your prayers. He wants you to bring everything to Him at any time. Praying in Jesus' name means we approach God as His dearly loved children, knowing without a doubt that He is eager and ready to listen. Finally, God's word directs Christians to confess Jesus' name. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, "It is with the heart that one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." These verses show us that faith in Jesus is a private thing. After receiving the gospel through baptism, through the shared word of God, the Holy Spirit created faith in Jesus in our hearts. No one could see it, but it was there. We came to believe in Jesus with our hearts, and it was a very private thing. But faith can never remain a private thing. Let me say that again. Faith in Jesus can never remain a private thing. Those who experience the gospel of Jesus Christ can't keep it to themselves. Jesus is so good, we have to share Him with other people. In the words of Paul, we confess Jesus' name with our lips, with our mouths. Confessing Jesus' name is good for the people around us, and it's good for us. When we talk about Jesus, when we tell other people about Jesus, the Holy Spirit can use that witness to create faith in the heart of the listener. Or that person who hears us might become curious about Jesus and want to learn more about Jesus. That's good. And telling others about Jesus is good for us. It has a way of solidifying our faith. It makes us bolder, confident in Jesus. Without a doubt, the Christian life isn't just about believing in Jesus' name with the heart. It's also confessing Jesus' name with the mouth. According to Acts 11, verse 26, believers in Jesus were first called Christians in Antioch, Syrian Antioch. Before that, believers in Jesus were called followers of the way or disciples. The name Christian was introduced very early in New Testament times and quickly caught on. Today, almost all believers in Jesus are called Christians. Christian means belonging to Christ. Belonging to Christ's household. Isn't that cool? Christian, isn't that cool? We belong to the household of Christ. We bear the name of Christ. So, you who bear the name of Christ, as you walk with the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit, cherish Jesus' name. That name that saves you, that gives you forgiveness of all your sins. Cherish that name that gives you the privilege of prayer, a privilege you can enjoy 24/7 every moment of your life. Cherish the name Jesus, that name you confess with your lips and share with the world. For as St. Paul states, as St. Paul states so beautifully in Philippians chapter 2, Jesus' name is the name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.